listening to Kevin and the Spleen.
No one's gonna ever love me.
1098.5 Radio QWX. Real quick.
Bussin', no cap.
No cap.
Really smack you in the ass with flavor. There you go. This show is about depression, anxiety, PTSD, and chronic illness.
We going quick. We're trying to keep you on the path to the ride home on the evening time.
It's a fucking zoo.
Make it quicks. With the Quicks Radio.
White lives do not matter.
Hey, kids, it's me, Krusty the Krab. That's right, kids, I'm Krusty the Krab and not the Spleen this time. You see my big foam pinchers going on. Snip, snip, folks, it's me, Krusty the Krab. And he's also a clown. He's a clown crab. A crown crab. That's right, folks. I've been taking medicinal mushrooms for about 7 weeks, and I think it's starting to pay off. As you can see here, I can remove my own head. Snippity snip. What's up, Kevin?
I'm doing good. I'm coming to you from a hotel, not on my usual tech setup here. And that theme song was definitely loud. I can't hear anything right now. That was the loudest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Kevin's wearing earbuds, folks.
Yes, this was incredibly loud. But I'm glad I'm doing it for the people. Everyone at home got to hear the theme song, and that's all that matters.
Hey, that's what counts, folks. And if it's loud to you, it's louder for Kevin. If he's deaf, you're deaf. Bring him inside, right?
Yeah.
Is that, you know, like if they're cold, you're cold, whatever.
I like it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now it's time to get some top exoskeleton, what do you call it? Cleaning tips. That's right, folks. I like to give myself a nice salt wash from here and there. Just start right up here, get all the way down there. You know what I'm saying? Ooh, yeah, get those cloaca all washed off. And you know we folding it back big style. I wonder if I could keep doing this just for like the whole show, you know.
It feels like you've developed your vocal cords that you can do that for a longer period before it starts fading.
Yeah, I mean, I would say this is a little bit of a variation. I think there's like less gravel to it, you know. It has a little bit of more kind of quality to it. It's not like that Spleen, you know.
Yeah, you start off real heavy Wolfman Jack, and then it sort of turns into your own creation, which I think is even better.
It gets too hard to keep up the Wolfman Jack, so it just kind of gets about half-mast. And you know we celebrate in half-mast day down here. With Totally Tubbed Tuesdays. Man, I got to take like an improv class. Kevin, I signed up for an improv class. Can you believe that?
I am so jealous. That's been one of my like life goals is to do this.
Yeah, I think we talked in the past about how you were thinking about going to like a improv class that would have to take you quite a distance away. And you were bemoaning the fact that it was going to be like 3 hours of travel every like one night a week for like improv class. And you're like, I really can't justify that. Was that a conversation we had or simply a dream?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was real. It's like 90 minutes from my house to where they're like Second City in Chicago, mm-hmm. which is where I would love to go.
Ooh, it's just, yeah.
It's just, you know, I live as far away as you can get and still pretend to be in Chicago, and it's right in Chicago. So I've put it off. It's just one of those things where I've always wanted to do it, though. Second City was like a dream before I even went to Chicago of like, I would love to even just go there.
Oh, yeah. I got a haircut, baby. Oh, baby.
It's looking good.
Thank you.
You've really leveled up how you look. I'm loving this.
Well, that's the thing is the last time I lost weight.
Okay. I could keep doing that. It just feels like, well, what's the bit at some point, you know? But the last time I lost weight, it's not body dysmorphia. What is it when you just think your body looks a different way, but it's not an illusion? It's just when you see your body, you're like, oh, that's not what I thought. You know, does that make sense? I have that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a form of body dysmorphia, but maybe just like a mild stretch of it.
Yeah. So like You know, like there's this idea, I think this is like a generally false idea, that inside like a fat person, there's a skinny person trying to get out. Like, I think I took that idea too far. And I was like, if I lost weight, I would look like this. And what I imagined I look like is probably like 4 inches shorter. Like my shoulders are like way thinner, and just like I was just imagining like a smaller person, like on every axis, you know? And so the first time I lost weight, I was like, man, you still just look like shit. You just look like a thwomp. You know how like a thwomp in Mario is like a big block? Like in it's like,
yeah.
I'm still like built like a refrigerator. I'm just skinny. I don't poke out. I'm not thick, you know, in the Z axis. So like the first time I lost weight, it was just like, fuck, like, I don't look good. I just look skinny and shitty. Like, I just look the same, just not fat, you know? And I think like dealing with that was like, or like not being able to deal with that is a big part of why I like regained all that weight. And so this time it happened again. And then now I'm here, you know, which is pretty close to where I got last time. Last time I got down to 180. Right now I'm at like 195. But so I'm pretty close to there. And I'm like at that place where I'm like, yeah, you don't look that way that you imagine you will when you lose weight. You just don't. That's not what you look like. That's not what your face looks like. It's not what your features look like, you know? And that's been fucked. And so when I hit that, I was like, I need a haircut, you know, like, because now I can't lose weight into being hot. I just have to think about the other things that make people look the ways they look, right? Why'd you mute? I thought you were fucking laughing. You were fucking coughing. Kevin muted his mic to cough, and I thought he was laughing. Folks. Anyway.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you're going through, because, like, you know, when you first met me, do you really think I looked that much different from the first time you saw me? Like, I look basically like the same person I did 5 years ago. Actually, no, 10 years ago, whenever that was.
Right. I get what you're saying.
I'm almost 100 pounds lighter than I was then. And
yeah, you had like a little belly, right? You know, and now you like, that's the thing. You cross this point where you stop looking fat and you look like a normal person. Does that make sense? Like, and that doesn't mean you're skinny. It's just people clock you differently. Go ahead.
Sorry. Right. No, like, I mean, I have people that I would see every day at work, or, you know, friends and stuff like that. And I'd be like, you know, I've lost almost 85 pounds in the last year. And they just, no, you didn't. And I'm like, no, really? Like, look at my driver's license. Look at me now. And they're like, yeah, you look exactly the same.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that was all for nothing. Yeah.
Well, I will say, I think your face looks very, very similar, because I think when you had that weight, I think your face was pretty good. I mean, obviously your cheeks had like a little bit of bulge, but I think my face looks a lot thinner than it used to. Like, I think your face is less noticeably different despite that. Does that make sense?
Exactly. Like, I feel like my head stays the same. I just have less of a gut.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I always wear baggy clothes, so I think that's not really helping me, you know, and things like that. But yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about there. It's a weird problem. Like, I didn't do it to impress people, but I kept kind of like hoping one day someone would be like, wow, you look different. And that never happened once.
Sounds like a healing fantasy, bitch.
It is. It totally is. You know, and so, yeah, I'm seeking praise from everybody who's listening right now. Email in, tell me how thin I look.
Now that's saying what you want and going after it. That's healthy.
Yes. I actually don't think that is very healthy, but still.
It is, though. That's what's fucked up, is that we're so programmed to be like, that seems wrong, but apparently that's what people are supposed to do. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me either.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't email me. That's not what I want. I just, I don't know what I want is my problem.
Yeah. What you're saying about baggy clothes is that, like, I've lost a lot of weight, and I haven't changed my clothes. I actually have one shirt that's XL that I've had because I bought it the last time I lost weight. And I actually wore that shirt randomly, and I saw myself in a mirror and I was like, wait, what? And I was like, holy shit. Like, my baggy 2XL shirts are like, they just make me look the same amount of fat because they drape down, and that creates this baggy kind of fat look to it. The sleeves kind of, even when your arm is like not filling up your whole sleeve, the thickness of the sleeve kind of creates an illusion. And so I was like, man, like, my clothes make me look fat. Even though I'm not fat, I still look fat. And that like really pissed me off. I don't have a lot of money to like go completely up in my wardrobe, but I'm trying to like slowly pick up a couple like common useful articles and stuff, but I don't have any fucking style either. But so, because yeah, like I'm saying is like, I'm actually being like, okay, well, if this is a problem, you don't like the way you look, then, you know, weight isn't the only axis to turn here. You know, you can do other stuff. So
yeah, no, that's my problem too. Like I have a whole closet full of clothes that don't fit me, you know, mm-hmm. like literally pants that even with a belt don't stay up anymore.
Yeah.
And I keep feeling like this, like, even though I've maintained this weight for years, I keep feeling mentally like this is a temporary situation and that I shouldn't go replace all this because I'm going to feel really like I'm going to really beat myself up if I have to go back and buy those sizes again one day, you know?
Well, I think you're in a position where you could put clothes in deep storage at least. So like, I feel like I would have a hard time storing my old shit, but like I do though. There's some stuff I've stored. But yeah, like, I think you can definitely get new stuff without having to throw everything out. Cause yeah, that's where I'm at. I don't want to throw out my shirts. And also I like these shirts, but also they're all falling apart. Like all of my shirts are like 10 years old.
I'm sort of in the same situation. Like, I don't know. Like, I think, for guys especially, you just reach a point in your life where you're just like, yep, this is what fashion is, and this is what I'm going to wear for the rest of my life. Like, you know, it's, I think a lot of people do that with music too, but I've noticed, especially in men, like you just, at some point in your life, you just stop evolving your fashion trend unless you like really make fashion a big part of your life.
Right.
You know, like this, the graphic tee, faded jeans, comfy shoes, that is my look. And in like, unless I'm going to a wedding or something, that's all you're ever going to see me in.
Yeah, exactly. I have some nicer shirts, but generally I put on my gym-ish clothes, the clothes I go hiking in the morning in, and then I change clothes when I, you know, get out of the shower. But usually I just wear like similar clothes because I'm going to be running errands and stuff. So like, I don't expect to see anybody. If I expect to see someone that I like care about in any fashion, you know, I might like put on a shirt that fits, for instance.
Yeah.
But you know, but yeah, I got to start like trying to just, it's just autopilot. Cause I'm like, this doesn't matter. I need to eat breakfast and I need to put clothes on. You know, I'm not like thinking about like how it's going to affect people because I don't care, but there's circumstances where it does matter. What a great fucking podcast. Oh my God. We're geniuses. Just authentically conversing about personal topics relevant to us and our listeners. Holy shit.
This is going to be our top episode ever.
Oh yeah. This is going to be one of the episodes.
I'm putting that on paper now. Yeah. This is,
thank you.
This is going to be our number one listened episode.
Wow. That's impressive. It's time for me to look at my notes. Okay. Rock cleaning wars. It's time for our TikTok segment. There is someone who decided to clean. They wanted to polish a rock until it shined like a mirror. And then a bunch of copycat accounts followed up that were like, we're going to polish our rock to a mirror faster. And most of them gave up. And the main account, the account that started the trend, realized at some point that they shouldn't actually polish the rock to a mirror shine because then they wouldn't be able to make more videos. Right. And also I think the stone they're using is like sandstone. And I don't actually think sandstone can become a mirror shine. Like, I don't think any given rock can do that necessarily. Right. But that was it. Yeah. Definitely one of the most listened to episodes of all time, I think, for sure. You know,
I've been watching this guy that is like all about showing like how to do all these fancy things, like what the proper etiquette way is to eat a banana. Like, mm-hmm. you don't just peel it. You have to like use a knife and cut the ends off and then cut it sideways and then do this. And like, he was showing the idea of grape scissors. Like, there are specific scissors that you use to snip the stems of grapes off so that you're not just like ripping them apart to give to people. Mm-hmm. And that just broke my brain. Like, the fact that like these overly ornate, fancy, jewel-encrusted scissors that are literally only meant to slice grape stems was just too much for me.
That's very similar to a kind of video that I hate, which is those like upper middle class white women usually making like really terrible food. Have you seen those?
Yes.
Yeah. I think those, I don't know how it connects, but I think those are the same thing as you're talking about. And I think, I don't know how to classify it. I don't know what it is. Cause part of it is like like worship of wealth, right? It's like, oh, I want to see someone wealthy being wealthy, right? But I think like it's not mostly that. I think there's something more of it that I don't know how to put my finger on it, but how I refer to it as it's for pervs to jerk off to. And I don't quite know exactly how that plays out, but those women making the food and they're like making, they're just pouring a bunch of dirt and stuff. And they're like, and this adds flavor. Like, I know there's some perv jerking off to that. And I know that's why they're doing it. And that's why those views are happening. And not everyone's jerking off to it, but whatever that sick pleasure that guy is getting in, other people are getting it on a lesser level and they don't know what to do with it. And that's what's driving them to watch those videos, you know?
You know, I think there's a kink for everybody, you know, like this was probably 15 years ago, but one of my favorite sites, and not that I was ever a member of or anything, but I just could not believe that this existed, was called Car Stuck Girls, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So the premise of every single one of these videos is a girl is driving a car, usually a stick shift, and she drives it into some mud or some snow or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, it is 30 minutes of her like pumping the brakes and using the clutch and shifting and then getting out and like her feet getting like her high heels that she's wearing, going into the mud and getting back, tracking mud back into the car and then trying to rock the car out and getting the car further and further stuck. And
you see how that's exactly the same as both of these kind of videos you described on some weird level. Continue.
Exactly. And it's like, you'd think, okay, there's a limited market for this. You know, there's only so many people who are into this, but like, there are like 500 of these videos. So either some guy who's making this is his fetish and he's just putting this online, or there's this entirely untapped market of people who enjoy watching women get their cars stuck in the mud and want to watch pedals being pushed and stuff like that.
Yeah. There's obvious foot stuff there, right? Go ahead.
There is. There's some obvious foot fetishing in there too, but it goes deeper than that. And it's so incredibly specific. And like, you can click on any of these videos and they're indistinguishable from each other because they're exactly the same thing.
Right.
And it's like, you know, who's the target here who needs to see 500 of these? I'm just so fascinated by stuff like this.
Yeah. And the thing about those videos is my understanding, at least. And then honestly, I wouldn't be ashamed to say that I've watched them, but I haven't watched them, so I don't actually know. But my understanding is part of it is they're like, I need help, or like, I just can't do anything. Like the helplessness seems like part of it. And like, again, when you're talking about book stuff, it's like, I think there's guys that are like, oh, this woman needs help, you know? And like, maybe I could help a woman in a similar situation. And wouldn't that be so great? Like, I think that's part of it, is like the idea that the woman is stuck and in need or something, you know? And again, what you're describing is very different than what I'm describing. So maybe that's not a big like centered part of those videos, but, and again, I'm not shaming. I don't know. I feel like I had to say that I don't take Ozempic, and I don't have a problem with Ozempic. I looked for Ozempic. I did research on it. It was so much fucking money. And right now I couldn't get it through the insurance or whatever I have. Like I'm going through Medi-Cal. So you can't just like do stuff. Like it's like actual medicine. It's not like bullshit doctor bullshit. So like I couldn't just get a prescription for it. Like I would have to go through insurance or pay out of pocket or something. And like, it's obscenely expensive even when you go through insurance. And that is the only reason I didn't do it. Like, and if I did, I would be honestly proud to say it. And I feel like that, it feels, I don't know, whatever, but it's just like, it's a similar thing where it's like, I don't care, man, but it's just like, it's important that you understand for some reason. Does that make sense? I didn't watch those videos. What I was going to say is that Abby, you know, Abby's a porn star, and I have pitched her multiple times on the idea of, you know, those videos are like really popular. I hear like people go nuts for them. Like, have you ever thought of just recording that? It seems pretty easy. Like you probably do it in like 20 minutes, you know? She seemed pretty interested, but you know, like, I don't know, you know, the thing about porn is the production apparatus mostly exists to shoot porn and not just like random videos that women have ideas for. Does that make sense?
Completely, you know. Yeah. And I think supply outstrips demand for some things too, and it's fascinating to me to watch, you know, the whole just the psychology behind it. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I'm way more into the why people are into it than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not shaming anybody. Everybody's into something, and whatever your thing is, as long as you're not hurting anybody, I don't care.
And I'll go even further and say there's fetishes I think I would probably be very comfortable shaming people for. Even like normal ones. I don't know. Like, I don't like, you know, I don't like polyamorous people, you know, like I don't really want to shame that per se, but I kind of would, like, I would feel comfortable doing that. But like most stuff is like, yeah, man, everybody's fucked up. Like what we're going to make, I play Magic the Gathering. Like you want me to like defend that on its merits? Come on. Like it's everybody likes their stuff. Yeah, I don't know. Oh man. Okay. I went to a party. I didn't go to a party. I went towards a party. Does that make sense? I was going to
tell me more because there's a story there, I'm sure.
I was going to go to a party and I got there, and this happens a lot actually, but I walked towards the party and then I was like, I can't do this. And I left. And before that, my roommate was like, oh, I'm going to the bar. Do you want to come? And I was like, oh, I can't. I'm going to this party. Otherwise I would. And then I didn't go to the party. And so I was like, hey man, I didn't go to the party. Like, are you still at the bar? And he was like, yeah, come on down. And so I went down and I walked in, and like within 5 seconds, I was so uncomfortable. And so I like went in, I stood, like I talked to him for like a minute or two. And then I was just like freaking out. And I was like, man, I gotta go. And like, which is just, it just makes me like a giant fucking asshole. But like, it was just like, I just walked in, like stood somewhere for like a minute and a half and then walked out. And then now he's like, you know, I'm sure he thinks like a douchebag or whatever, but it was just like, just like two fails in a row. This has not been a good weekend for me, guys. What about you, Kevin? Good weekend?
I've been at work.
What were you
in
Boston? Sorry, I didn't mean to.
I'm at Boston right now. But no, I've done the same thing where like I've been invited to like a work party or something like that, and I'll show up, and if nobody in the first 5 minutes is like, oh hey Kevin, or makes any acknowledgement of me, I've just walked out and left. And I know I'm not acknowledging anybody else either. I'm equally to blame for this.
Exactly.
But I just feel like I just stood there for 5 minutes and watched other people having fun. And I'm like, I'm not feeling it, and leave. Yeah. And then I feel really self-conscious because like the next day everyone's like, hey, I thought I saw you at the party. Why didn't you, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and then I make up some excuse where I had to leave or something. I don't know. It's, I'm awkward in a lot of social situations.
Me too. Like,
anywhere from one other person to maybe five, I'm comfortable with. And once you exceed a certain threshold of people, I'm no longer, like we were just talking about that in the last episode of Eva, you know, where Shenji is the same way, I think. And like, parties are just weird for me. Like if I come with somebody, I'm fine. Or if I'm like specifically invited by one person that I can go seek out and be like, hey, I'm here. But other than that, I'm just awkward and I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah. What's interesting is I'm better if someone invites me. But if I go with a person, there's like even odds that I'll get like weirdly codependent with that person and cling to them and not talk to them, but not talk to anyone else. And then it's like worse than if I just went myself. But sometimes that doesn't happen. But like, that's a dynamic too, which sucks. Ugh.
Yeah. I've been invited to parties where I don't know anybody but the person who brought me, and they kind of expected me to just mingle and meet people. And that's not my skill in any way whatsoever.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel you.
Yeah. Well, okay, so you're in Boston. You were going to talk about that. What were you going to say?
Yeah. So I'm in Boston. Beautiful city. I haven't been here since I was a kid. Sat in a hotel room right now where I can't turn the lights on or off because it's all computerized and, you know, nothing works for some reason, but I'm having a great time. I actually like Boston a lot. It's beautiful. You can't see out the window because it's dark, but I'm right on the ocean and it's beautiful.
Yeah. My Boston story is when we got to Boston for like the tour or whatever, within like 5 minutes of getting off the bus, I heard three separate people shout the F slur, like at across the street volume, not just like saying the word, like virulently yelling or something, you know? And I was like, well, that's Boston. I mean, what are you going to say? I'm in LA. So what can you do? Oh man, I saw this movie the other day. Have you heard about this? Have you seen this movie?
Oh, which movie are we talking
about? The Minecraft movie. Have you seen it yet?
Yeah, I actually saw somebody who animated it, and the animated version of the trailer is so much better than the live action version. Like why that couldn't have just been animated from the start. After seeing the animated version, I'm like, yeah, the live action movie is gonna bomb now.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, there's some things that like executives will just never understand. And It might be that the Minecraft movie can't work for this reason, but like, there's an argument where it's like, it can't look like Minecraft. It's a movie. It can't look that bad. But it's like, well, what you want it to look like looks so much worse. That just looks like shit because it looks like nothing. It doesn't look like Minecraft. It looks like Legos. It doesn't look like anything. I think that like the people excited about the Minecraft movie were excited about the idea of a Lego movie using the Minecraft IP to just shit, like just shamelessly steal the idea, which that's not even, Minecraft is very Lego, but it's not quite like, you don't need to do a leg, you could do a Minecraft move, you know, and just such a missed opportunity. They should have just done it like you said, animated would be really good because you could be stylistic, but I would just be like do turn up the shaders and like ray tracing, but use the same texture packs, like literally make it look like fucking Minecraft. And then hire like Minecraft people to like build the craziest shit you can ever imagine. Like that would be fucking awesome. And that's what people like about Minecraft. Whatever. It was gonna, that's, I didn't see that movie. I just, and then Jack Black.
It bothers. Yeah. Well, okay. I don't know what your take is, but like, I'm feeling bad for Jack Black right now because like, you know, people are judging him on things he has no responsibility over. Like he didn't write this. He's not the director. He didn't create it. He just took a role.
Yeah.
And people are being like, you know, you ruined this movie, but they've only even seen the trailer. And yeah, he's just acting, you know, like it's not his decision. It's not like, you know, I don't know.
It's definitely mean to take it to the person. Like I felt like Chris Pratt was a really bad choice for the Mario movie, but I wouldn't say Chris Pratt, you ruined the Mario movie. Like the people that cast him ruined the movie. Like that's bad. You know, like I'm not frustrated about it, but like, and someone said that Chris Pratt would actually make a better Minecraft Steve, which I think is true. But the thing is, like, Steve being a grizzled old veteran isn't very interesting because Steve doesn't exist. He's not important on any level. Like, it's only like, oh, did you know that a player character existed in the game? Like, it could be anything. It could even be a fucking Lego man, and that would work better. Like, like when you put Jack Black, it's like, oh, Jack Black is Minecraft Steve. What does that mean? And it's like, what does that mean? Wait, what does that mean? And it doesn't mean anything. It means they wanted to cast Jack Black, but it's not necessarily a good role for him or whatever. Or maybe it is, but it's the role was good for him because it's a bad idea. Like Minecraft Steve being this grizzled, and you know, and it's trading on the fucking Finn and Jake Adventure Time. Like, oh, this is grown up Finn now. You know, it's like totally just, but that's not the movie I saw. The movie I saw was Confessions of a Shit Poster. Have you heard about this?
No, I don't think I have.
Yeah, it was about this like this kind of notorious Reddit troll. And it was like, it was shot like a mockumentary, but it kind of like devolved into more of like this eerie kind of unsettling, almost like Jordan Peele style horror. But you kind of, it started like being like funny and interesting where, you know, he's playing pranks and you're seeing like the havoc he's wreaking. And it's like, oh, he's kind of like the Joker and he's dealing out justice to society and stuff. But the more you get it, it's the more that he's just kind of playing his sick, twisted games on society, you know? And I don't know. I thought that what's his name? The fucking Lawrence Fishburne was really good. But yeah, I didn't like the main, I don't even know who the main, lead was, but I don't know. Confessions of a Shit Poster, check it out.
I'll have to watch that. That sounds like something I would watch.
Yeah, that's what it would be like if ChatGPT was people.
I think
you just say things and people are like, is this real? I'm just gonna nod and smile, you know? Like, okay. I listened to the Conan O'Brien podcast and it's pretty good, but they've had on a lot of guests that are like, I feel like the government / big business are engineering these podcast appearances for PSYOP purposes. Like he had like two different guests on that talked about like why Israel is like doing the right thing. And then like he recently had this guy on that was like talking about how he wanted to do, how like he was getting hate for like being pro-Israel or whatever, which I don't know. I haven't dug into what he said or didn't say, but he was talking about how like, oh, but you know, comedy's supposed to be brave and like, oh, isn't it not? It's there's nothing brave about saying genocide is bad. And it's like, well, hold on, buddy. Comedy's supposed to be brave. Comedy is supposed to be brave. Comedy is supposed to be brave. Why is comedy supposed to be brave? You know what's supposed to be brave? Bravery. Comedy? I think comedy might supposed to be funny. You know, like I don't know where bravery enters into comedy. Like, maybe it takes bravery to tell a good joke, but like, that's a joke. That's comedy. Like, what's brave? Like, the idea that bravery is some virtue to be upheld in comedy is someone selling you politics. Like, because they're saying, you know what's really comedy? My idea that you should buy. That's funny. And it's like, no, that's not funny. That's you trying to make money. Like, I don't like, but so obviously all the cancel culture people love talking about how like, you know, they're so brave, you're so brave or whatever. It's like, we're trying to tell the truth. You know, you guys are too scared to hear the truth. I'm just talking jokes and stuff. And it's like, well, no one cares. They want funny jokes and you're not delivering them and they're reacting to that. And that's your problem. Anyway, Jesus Christ. I feel like I'm on some sort of drug. I quit weed, Kevin. I quit weed this week.
Really?
Yeah. Again, for like the fourth time. Your rant
seemed more passionate. Like what you were just talking about right there sounded like you were channeling Norm MacDonald. Like yeah. When he would get really fired up for, you know? Like yeah. Every word you just said, I could hear Norm MacDonald's voice as you were talking.
That's great. Thank you. Yeah, but I honestly, okay, I got to apologize to the listeners. I'm sorry, listeners, because here's the thing. I relapsed in like November, I want to say, of last year. And so I had quit. I've quit multiple times. I relapsed around then. There was multiple factors, but I'm apologizing because there is a point where I realized that me smoking weed made the podcast way worse. And I didn't then stop smoking weed. I was just like, it's fine that the podcast's bad. And that sucks. That sucks. I'm just putting out shitty content and being like, you listen to this, you know? And, you know, obviously we've gotten better since then. But I do think that that was like, that sucks to be all like, oh, this is fine. I'm on drugs. And it's like, that's not fine. Like, it's bad. You can say it's bad. You don't have to enjoy it. But then I'm here like, you know, why does no one enjoy this? It's like, well, it's because you admit it's bad. Like, you know, it's bad because of the drugs you took, you know? But yeah, I still am trying to get my sleep back. Tonight's the first night I actually had a decent night's sleep, which was nice. When you quit weed, you like can't sleep. Like you're literally awake for 2 days, basically. It sucks. But yeah, I'm out of the woods for the most part. I mean, you know, I could relapse for sure, but like the first few days are the worst and, then it gets better.
You find your dreams are different when you're using weed or not?
I basically never dream when I smoke. And last night was also the first night that I had any semblance of a dream. I couldn't tell you anything that happened, but I knew I dreamed. And that's also a thing. Like, I mean, I don't know how much I've ranted about this on the podcast. I've been writing about this a little bit, but like dreams are a big part of what makes us human and what inspires us to take action. And I think that cavemen, they were dreaming and they didn't know it was fake. And so that was religion, was just dreams, right? And so like our spirituality has always been tied to like our dreams, and dreams have like related to our motivation. You have a dream and you're like, I want to be a whatever, you know, because of a dream you had. Like that happens to people. Like, and so I do think there's an extent to which like by eating your capacity to dream, weed is like robbing you of like achieving like this higher like purpose or a connection with this other thing that a lot of people have access to. Does that make sense?
It totally does, yeah. Like I notice certain medications when I take, I don't dream at all, or yeah. I feel like I'm not. Like I feel like maybe I am, and I'm just not remembering any of them. I'm not sure that which is happening.
Yeah,
you know, and I kind of feel like when I'm having that experience, and I don't feel like I'm dreaming, whether I am or not, I don't know. But I don't feel like I'm as creative the next day. I don't feel like I'm as attached to reality, which seems really weird, you know, like how important that is.
Well, yeah, because you know, we don't know a lot about sleep, but part of what sleep does is REM sleep is kind of like defragging your brain. It also is paring down useless neuro associations, and it's also like gurgling and bubbling ideas that it's encountered in an attempt to solve problems that you haven't solved or something like that. Or maybe that's like a side effect of pairing useless associations. I don't know. But like, that's all part of of your brain. And that's like, it's like defragging the computer. It makes the computer work better, right? So like dreaming is like a maintenance process that your brain needs. And we can affect REM sleep, and REM sleep is where dreaming happens. So like all of those things are like connected somehow. I think different people are affected differently, whatever. But like, yeah, I think it makes sense that you could have problems mentally by not defragging your brain right. Does that make sense?
Completely. You know, like just on the, like I've been in Boston since Tuesday. And like, I think I mentioned on the last week of the show, maybe, you know, I've got a broken tooth. I'm waiting for surgery for it. Mm-hmm. So what I've been doing every day since I've been here, because my clock is all messed up because I was working nights before I left, is I'm waking up in the morning and getting a giant iced latte and then having maybe like two of those a day. And then at night taking oxycodone so that my toothache doesn't keep me awake, you know, like the, like friend of mine calls that a Starbucks speedball, you know, combining those two together. And yeah. I notice when I'm doing that, like, you know, caffeine plus painkillers is definitely, I have the most messed up dreams. Like they're, it's just like, you know, it's like dreaming LSD pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, I feel so energized the next day, though, you know, so I kind of feel like, you know, just it feels like for the moment,
it's dream steroids. You're taking steroids, yes, for your dreams.
It exactly. I feel like I'm dreaming the entire time I'm asleep. Like I wake up 15 times during the night from a crazy dream. And that's all I feel like I'm doing. Wow. And I should be so exhausted the next day, which is probably why I'm drinking the coffee. But like I am more energetic doing this than ever before, which is a little scary.
That seems scientifically notable. I would love to see if there's studies been done, or there could be studies commissioned for stuff. Cause like, if that's an actual phenomenon, that's really, cause again, sleep is so poorly understood. If there was a way to like steroid your dreams, that does seem like something someone might care about who has science money. Right. But yeah, man, I've been getting into tarot. I guess we talked about tarot in the past, right?
I'm very curious about it.
Yeah, I want to give you a tarot reading, but I have a rant about Cybertrucks. I got to like an intersection the other day, and a red Cybertruck pulled up behind me, and it was so upsetting. It was this gross color of red that looked like it was just like a red spray paint can or something. And it didn't look like a coat of paint. Like, and so I'm like, did he do it himself? Is this a wrap that looks weird? Like, I don't, like, this doesn't seem like a natural paint job on a car. And he also had some text, like it said, like, it was something like Maddox or something. I don't know. It wasn't Matrix, but it looked kind of like Matrix, but it was like in like scribbly writing on the windshield or some shit, which great. Put fucking words on your windshield. But he pulls up behind me and like, I'm sure I'm just imagining it, but you could tell that the mood just soured. Like everyone sitting at the intersection just got so bummed out that the Cybertruck pulled up. And so then the light changes. We start going, and he's like immediately doing this asshole like muscle car driving thing where like you're getting right behind, you're tailgating a person to try and get them to go faster. And then you're trying to get in the other lane, but there's cars blocking, so you can't get fast enough to get into it. And so you try and stomp on the brakes to drop behind them, you know, so then you can get in their lane, but that doesn't work. And so he's doing all this nonsense to try and get out of behind a car he's behind, and it doesn't work. And you can see that, like, I'm not watching his face, but just by the car movements, he's getting more frustrated that it's not working. And so we get to another intersection, and he pulls and turns right to go just another way, clearly not where he was going, just because he wanted to get out of the situation he was in. He was so mad. And I was like, that's Cybertrucks, man. Jesus Christ, this is the worst. Another time I saw a Cybertruck, I was across the street. I was on the sidewalk. On the other side of the street, I saw a Cybertruck driving down. And it just, like, it's hard to explain. I feel like, I wish I could, like, find a better way to express this. But seeing a Cybertruck in person is violence manifest. Like, and not in the way that a giant truck is, like a raised truck is, because it's like, this guy is clearly like hoping he can run someone over and get away with it. Like the aura of Nazi menace. It's not that. It's just the machine itself looks like out of control and dangerous, like a fireball that just happens to be on the road or something. Like, it just looks like people will get hurt because it's there. And like, not even that it'll crash into you, like just driving past you, it looks like Like I saw it with my eyes and I felt like I was being, my eyes, my body was being sliced. Like I felt like from across the street, I would be harmed, be cut open. Like it was dangerous for the car to be 50 feet away from me just because this aura of menace it was giving off. And then I realized that's like the trope in anime where someone's so powerful, like you lose your will to fight. Like you just can't raise your fist in anger. It's like, that's what that is just like the power of a Cybertruck. I saw a video of a Cybertruck like driving through this plastic fence and immediately dying. It was amazing. Okay, yeah. Tara. Go ahead.
I'm not afraid to admit I bought a Tesla, but before we knew Elon was crazy. Okay. Like I bought.
Yeah. Yeah.
You showed me
your Tesla, the one Tesla you had, like back before any of us knew he was crazy, back before we even knew Elon Musk was like a person. There was a time when Teslas were kind of just like a new car and they weren't like associated with a guy, like at least in the public, you know?
And like, you know, I noticed people's perceptions towards me driving it has shifted so much.
Yeah.
Years ago, I would have people pull up to me asking questions about it. Oh my God, this is so cool. Like I literally got stopped by a sheriff's deputy where I live because he wanted to look at the car.
Jesus
like,
Christ.
I thought I was speeding and he's like,
what
no, I'm so sorry.
Heartwarming story.
I hope I'm not bothering you. I just wanted to look at your car.
I hope I'm not bothering you by pulling you over.
Yes. I live out in the country. It's a little bit different than, you know, it's, I don't know how to explain it, but
I get
it. Now I get these looks of like, oh, you're one of them when people see I'm driving a Tesla. And I'm like, I've seen other people with those bumper stickers that are like, I bought this before we knew Elon was crazy, that I kind of want to get just to deflect some of that. Yeah. But I feel like that's almost drawing more attention to it.
That's the thing. That's like when I think about getting a Fraternal Order of Police sticker for my car or something, you know, but I don't want to get like a brick thrown through my car.
Exactly, but it's like I feel like that's just gonna piss off the wrong
or dangerous
then.
People.
Yes, so I don't know, you know, like now I get people in jacked up trucks going yeah at me, which is a very different demographic than I got 5 years ago.
Tesla, man. I've been saying that a lot this episode. I've been getting into tarot. I actually met a girl for coffee and we were talking about tarot and she's apparently into tarot and it was really fun talking about it. We're gonna play tarot. You can play tarot. Did you know you can play tarot? I don't even know how.
I did not. Okay.
Yeah. But so I want to give you a tarot reading, Kevin. Is that okay?
That I would love that actually.
Do you know anything about tarot cards? And also, can you hear the cards that I'm shuffling or not? Because that's important.
I can hear the shuffling. Yes.
Awesome.
No, I've had my tarot done once, and it was at Starburns by Tish Burns, who did a fantastic job at it. Mm-hmm. I would love to have her do that again one day. And she doesn't even like that's not her job. It's just she does it for fun. That was fantastic. So yeah, I'd love to see what you would do.
So do you know anything about tarot? Do you know any of the cards? Do you have any favorite cards?
No, I just barely know the bare minimum, you know, like there's a death card, but like it being upside down means something different and the order means something, but I don't know any of the, like the rules behind it or anything.
All right. So, it's a lot like dream interpretation in that I think it's more interesting as a way for you to talk about stuff that you're thinking and going through, because the cards come out and it's like a Rorschach test. You know, they won't say what's going to happen. They'll give you a prompt to talk, you know? So in that way, it doesn't feel like telling the future so much as like getting to know someone's like subconscious thoughts or something, you know, but it's also still fun to kind of treat it more like magic. I don't actually know how to do tarot the right way. I have this weird, superstition that the way I'm doing it is actually functionally magic right now. And if I actually learned how to do it, that would be doing it right. And that would kill the magic, right? It would turn it into like a practice that I actually understand that no longer can channel this magical vibe. Right. So I'm going to give you like this modified reading. Go ahead.
That makes a strange sort of sense. You know, I feel like the power of belief matters more than what it is you're doing. Like the ritual doesn't matter, it's the belief in the ritual that does.
Definitely 100%.
So yeah, I would totally believe that.
Yeah, and my mom claims to have some like psychic stuff. She said that like she predicted that Princess Diana died before she knew. I was named after Princess Diana apparently. I just found that out when that movie Spencer came out, and then I was like, holy shit, that must be why. But yeah, so she claims to have some psychic stuff. I have some stuff that I feel like I've seen. I don't think it's psychic. It just feels like the universe lining up more than anything else. But, you know, it's fun to claim psychic heritage. But we need to pick you a card to be your significator. I don't know. So again, I don't know if anything I'm saying is real. And also, I will need to use a book to look up the stuff and what it means.
Okay.
But we need to pick a significator. And my understanding of the significator is it's kind of like a magical antenna. So if all this magical energy and data is out in the world, you know, it's all out there. But to get the right answers, we need to tune into the frequency of the seeker, which is you. So we need a card that can act as your antenna to hone in on Kevin's magical frequencies. Does that make sense?
It does.
Right. And so I think I usually pick these unless the person has a card that they would pick. But I think when I was thinking about doing this, I was thinking about giving you the Chariot card. The Chariot card represents action and sometimes travel. The Chariot card is it's said to be the son of the emperor and the empress. And usually the Chariot has all the tools they need to solve their problems, but they can be defined by action. And I think I think you're well defined by action. You know, I think you're always doing stuff. Like I feel like I just exist and you're just doing stuff constantly, you know, even when you're not doing anything, you know, like you're doing, you know, I don't know. Does that make sense?
It does. And I feel like if you think that represents me, that means even more to me then. So yeah, awesome. That sounds perfect.
So let me find that. Do you want to fill time? Because I'm out of things sure. to say right now.
Okay. Let me also get that music going too, that we talked about.
Oh yeah.
Just in the background.
Well, I got Kevin to pull up some medieval lo-fi, which is a new genre of music apparently. Maybe not new, maybe it's old. Maybe it's the oldest genre there ever was. And so if we get copyright struck, I'm sorry.
That's okay. We'll deal with that when it happens.
Yes. Just get, oh, you immediately get shut down. It's not even like 5 seconds. It's just we're down. Internet dies. Wow, where is it? Wait, is it not in the deck? No, it's, of course it's in the deck. Okay, so I think I can change my camera. Hold on, you guys. Doing some live tech on the pod. So
hey, this is pretty nice. This is high tech.
Hell yeah. So you can see the tarot card, right? That's the Chariot. That is your significator. So let's focus our energies there.
I'm locking the camera on you so that it stays in the cards here.
I think that makes a lot of sense. So the first thing that's going to happen is I'm going to split the deck into three decks and you're going to pick one of them to burn. And we're not going to use that. So it's going to be 1, 2, 3, and you're going to pick one of them and I will point to them and show them to you. And by the way, guys, I don't know, maybe you can skip ahead if you're not interested in this. I think it will go on a while. So I can imagine someone not liking this. And yeah, you're probably better off skipping if you don't. But so 1, 2, 3, would you like to burn 3, 2, or 1?
One, two, please.
You picked one.
Number one. Yeah.
Are you sure? It sounded like you hesitated.
Nope, I'm sure. Number one.
All right. We're burning deck one. So when I do this over the internet, I like to have people burn extra cards. I think that the internet, it breaks the magical frequencies. It makes them harder to divine. And so by burning cards, we can hopefully lock into your frequencies a bit better than the normal way. I'm not sure if this is what real tarot people do. But every time we deal, we're going to burn 1, 2, or 3 cards. So tell me how many cards you want to burn for your first card.
Let's do 3.
Okay, we're going to burn 3 cards. The spread is going to be, first we're going to lay out your guide, and then we're going to find your past, present, and future. And then after that, we're going to find your tools or means. The past, present, and future is pretty obvious. The spirit guide is just a way you can think about how someone else might approach your problems, or like a way to keep in mind. And the tools and the means are kind of similar in that like all of these ideas can be interpreted through the tools or the means, whatever they come out to be. So we're going to burn 3 cards and deal your guide. 1, 2, 3. And your guide is the 7 of Wands. I want to say that has to do with travel. But
okay.
7 of Wands, I'm better with the major arcana, but the wands and the lower numbers, the minor arcana, I'm really bad. Oh, this is the 8 of Wands. My bad. You see, I'm still learning. This is why it's real. This is how you know it's real. A journey comes. Prepare for haste. An opportunity you cannot waste. Keyword journeys. The eight rods on this card hang high in the clouds, representing freedom, flight, and travel. The sky is blue and clear, and the seeker will have boundless energy to grab opportunities that will turn out to be victorious. All eights in tarot symbolize good luck and good fortune. And take up your quests now, it says. Clear distractions. Go ahead. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I'm literally getting on a plane in about 12 hours, so this tracks.
And also, I mean, tramps are about opportunities and stuff too, so.
Exactly.
Within 12 months, journeys will be planned. Air travel is specific. Eight's the card of movement. It can indicate relocation within 12 months. And so I have all the cards upright. Sometimes the cards get reversed in tarot. And instead of reversing the cards, I like to think about both the positive and the negative aspects. Mark Rosewater says, your greatest weakness is your greatest strength to push too far. So instead of reversing some of the cards, I'd like to think of the cards as a strength that also contains a weakness. So this was all the good stuff, but now we're going to get into the bad stuff, which is postponements, delays in travel and journeys, also quests. Get a grip on your emotions. Don't rush into anything. Jealousy can be around, and look, so be careful and determine people's intentions. A property deal can fall through. You might lose money. Expect the unexpected. So, you know, obviously there can be very good things, but if you just barrel first, assuming, hey, the tarot card said everything's going to be good, that can lead to folly, right? So as you move forward, this is a good card, but it doesn't mean everything's going to be fine, right?
Okay.
That makes sense, huh?
That does. That's very useful information, actually.
You know, you don't have to lie. I think the audience.
No, I'm being dead serious here. That is actually, you know,
that's just how you sound
uncanny.
When you're Well, that's the thing about tarot, is it's always uncanny. But so thing to remember about this card is it is your guide. Think about this as we interpret the other cards, and think about how you can use journeys and opportunities in moving forward, which is also pretty inherent to the Chariot card, as we look at your past, present, and future. How many cards do you want to burn?
Two.
Your past is the Three of Wands. Now, the Three of Wands is about wisdom and, I think, important decisions. The thing is, I'm trying to learn, so I try to get the things I can do. Advice. Reach out and help get the help you need. Good advice you will receive. The card depicts a man standing above the shoreline looking at three passing ships. Three rods are planted next to him, representing his commitment to his responsibilities. From where he stands, he has a good view of all that life offers and can see possible issues he may encounter in the future. Traditionally, he has great wisdom and will be relied upon to help others. And this is your path. Listen to others and take any advice that is offered. You could be giving advice or receiving it or going into a profession to help others. New business ventures, giving or receiving advice, enhancing a project at work, demanding people, or feeling exhausted. Does that have any relevance to your past?
Absolutely. Yes, 100%. I mean, literally, I just got finished talking about new business ventures, which is why I came to Boston. And I'm kind of at a crossroads of some things that have happened recently in the past where I need to make some decisions on them. And that I've kind of been putting off, which goes back to the delay thing that you were just talking about too.
And Chariot is a card telling you to take action. So if there's things you've been holding off, Chariot. But also, I picked the Chariot, so never mind. Don't take that, because
I can't really go into details about.
But it's not magic though. That's me telling you that. You can't trust that part's magical.
No, but it makes sense though, because I have had some major decisions that I've been putting off, and I've kind of been looking for a sign to give myself a kick to do it.
Yeah.
And this all kind of is all coming together. Yeah, this is weirdly accurate.
It always is. That's why I'm magic. So the reversed, egotistical. Either you or someone close to you could be full of ego. It could be a ruination, or it could impact your work life. It involves hasty decisions that are full of problems, rushing decisions, bad advice, reading the fine print, not using your potential. So again, you know, we're talking about wisdom, and the reverse is like bad advice, bad wisdom, you know? So that's a pretty obvious one. I don't have to go into too much detail, I don't think, right? You have anything there that you want to go, or should we move on?
No, that also completely tracks. I mean, that's kind of an issue that I'm having with somebody else right now. And yeah, that's 100% like scary accurate.
It always is. But that's what you said about Tish too. So maybe you're just stupid.
No, Spencer, we'll talk after the show.
No,
and
no,
you'll be like,
know,
oh my God.
I believe you. I'm playing.
Okay. Yeah.
Also, I'm a dick. I don't know if you're aware. How many cards do you want to burn?
One this time, please.
All right. That was a bad shuffle. Let me go with one more. How's this music too?
This has really put me in the proper headspace to appreciate.
Yeah, so I heard. Feel, go ahead.
I feel like I've been transported to somewhere else.
Ooh. Yeah, I agree. I heard someone talk about this and I was like, what the fuck does that even mean? And I listened to it. I was like, this shit slaps, dude. This rocks. The Wheel of Fucking Fortune, dude. This is one of the crazier cards. Let's see. It means like chance, fortune, randomness. It's generally a good card unless it's the reverse, but the way we're doing it, it kind of is reversed, right? So it's not all good. Trust in magic and the laws of fate. Changes come that cannot wait. Keyword fate. This card holds immense complexity and significance in the tarot, symbolizing the cycle of death and reverse. The Sphinx sits atop the wheel, his sword in hand, representing strength and knowledge. He's also privy to the secrets of time. Having been in existence for thousands of years, the Sphinx has repeatedly experienced and seen the circle of life. There's magical beasts that represent astrological symbols on the card. It has no boundaries and brings joy or trauma. Destiny will challenge free will to try to bring out the best within all of us. But what we want isn't what we're going to get. This is kind of like the best laid plans of mice and men. It can be a good thing. It usually means new stuff, new situations, meeting old friends, small coincidences, fate, accept all opportunities. And let's see, there's another interpretation. The thing is, this book has two kind of basic interpretations. This is just saying like, oh, stuff's good and life's about like connectivity and what do you call that? You know that word that everybody, whatever. It's the word that's funny. Ugh, I can't even explain it. There's a word that I'm trying to think of. I'll tell you guys later. Serendipity. Okay. There you go.
Okay.
So the reverse of this is everything's fucked up. Bad luck seems to surround you. You can accept it and do nothing, or you can take fate into your own hands. You have to take a hard look at how your actions have played a part in this negative phase you're in. Owning one's faults and admitting you are wrong leads halfway to changing the situation. It can also just signify fluctuations that happen by chance, you know, random shit. Let's see. Then the other interpretation is bad luck, bad omens. The reverse is just bad luck, right? The reverse Wheel of Fortune is one of the worst cards you can pull. But so we're not doing it that way necessarily. But, you know, in terms of like, it kind of says like, oh, trust fate and go wild. But the reverse is like, don't trust fate, don't go wild, or you're fucked, buddy. So, you know, if you're saying this card is a green flag, it's not necessarily a green flag.
Okay.
Which, isn't this convenient that I can say the card might mean the opposite?
I mean, it's given me a lot of room for interpretation, for sure.
But that's what is important. I think it's better to give you room for interpretation than for the cards to be magic and telling you how to live your life. Like, if the card said buy a lottery ticket, that's bad, right? You should be doing that of your own volition.
Right. I mean, like we were just talking about last night, I've been unbelievably, unnaturally lucky in certain areas that I can't even explain. And this consistently keeps happening to me.
Right.
But I also feel like I've had just as much bad luck that I don't necessarily bring up as often because it's not as much fun to talk.
Sure. Yeah, you just know? Crazy shit happens to you. You're on the edges of probability.
I'm a weird attractor, I think.
Yeah.
You know, like if there's something improbable going to happen, good or bad, it's going to happen to me, not somebody else.
Right. Yeah. That's so funny. That makes a lot of sense. I buy that for sure. And this is your present, by the way. So this isn't just like recent past, you know, like I think of the past as more distant, not super distant, but more distant. And this is like your present moment as the Wheel of Fortune. So that's also interesting, right? How many cards do you want to burn?
Let's do one again.
Okay. The Knight of Swords. I think the Swords is about, problems and consequences, bad things happening. But the knight is a court mentor, and court mentors are a bit different than the rest of the cards, so it might be not be as negative as most of the sword cards. Basically, a lot of the sword cards are pretty bad news, but I don't think the court mentors are. So the Knight of Swords, right? Yeah. Gallant and sexy, a dream to behold. But if she's boring, he will grow cold. Action. A young man spurs his white horse forward, prepared for battle. He's fearless and independent, not seeking approval from anyone. This knight can be fiercely competitive and never gives up. Although polite, he usually prefers his own way and will go to any lengths to achieve his goals. His personality is split into two. He's often a deep thinker with a vivid imagination, which causes him to frequently daydream, but he can also make rash decisions and then suffer the consequences later. He's opinionated from a young age and will enjoy debates. Is your future.
Okay.
Anything?
I mean, that kind of applies to me. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how that directly applies to me in the future, but it's one of those things that I could definitely see me in a month from now going, yep, okay, I get that now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm a little blurrier on this one, but that also seems to be a little bit more of a vague future that's not a specific action or event, so I'm having trouble placing that.
Yeah, I'm new at this. I don't really like the court mentors. I think they're mostly like, you're a cool guy, and it's like, okay, like it's not super helpful. The other interpretation is like exploring sex, determination, challenging bosses, hard to handle. Yeah, and so the other thing is court mentors can often represent people in your life and not you specifically. So it might be that you're not the Knight of Swords, but in the future there will be a Knight of Swords in the thing. And okay. Sometimes you're supposed to interpret these in relation to the other cards. I think that since the Wheel of Fortune's so symbolic, it might be that, you know, it's all fake, but it might be that the Knight of Swords is related to the situation of the Wheel of Fortune. You know, so if you're talking about your crazy luck, I wonder if involved in your crazy luck somehow there might be a Knight of Swords. That's kind of how I think they want you to interpret this. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, that does make sense. You know, again, I don't know how to directly apply that to anything in my current situation, but again, if you're talking about the future, maybe it's going to make sense. You know, I'll look back at this and this is going to make complete sense to me in retrospect.
Yeah. And then the knights are cards of movement and represent travel and journeys, last minute decisions, not having time to think about things right before they happen, inclined to rushing. So that's maybe some other bit. And then the reversed is pest. A heartbreaker, not sticking to your plans, stay away from this person. So this is the reverse, but yeah. So, and again, we're not taking it as the reverse. So it's not like, oh, this is a bad person, get away from them. But you know, this is a chaotic person to be sure. And there's good and bad sides to that, right?
Right. That I could probably place. So yeah.
Good.
Okay.
I love this. I fucking love this shit. It's so fun, right? Isn't this fun? Mm-hmm.
Yes, this actually is. This is very entertaining to me because it's it all makes so much sense, and I really wish I could talk about it, but I can't. But like, this all makes total sense.
I've only given like two readings to myself involving weird situations that I thought like made very little sense. And all the other readings I've done have been pretty solid. And again, I think tarot is just designed to be like that. I think any spread I give you, you'd probably say it makes sense. That's my theory. I'm not sure. And I don't really want to do like two or three readings in a row just to prove that, because that's science and not magic, right? But yeah, it does seem like either I'm really good at this or tarot is just fun because of how it's built to feel like this, right? So the last card is going to be your tools or your means. And you can use those to interpret all of these cards. So let's talk about the cards again, the Chariot. How can the tools or the means involve the Chariot? How can they involve journeys or taking action or wisdom and life changes, randomness and fate, destiny or challenging destiny, or, you know, chaotic sexual, you know, flakes, perhaps pests. So whatever we draw, you know, is just ways to think about how to handle these things. If you are the Chariot and your guide is travel and opportunity, it might be useful to use the tools to find those travel and opportunity. How many cards are we burning?
Let's do three this time.
And did I ask you how many we were bringing and then forgot? I don't think I did, but that just came across me. Okay. 1, 2, 3, and this is the Three of Pentacles. That's like about business development, I believe. So the three of, like, most of the pentacles are about business or wealth. And the three is, yeah, I think the three is about like good things happening, but not like crazy good, you know, like modest gains, let's say. Let's see. Three of Pentacles. Use your talents to succeed and to get the money you will need. Work success. People are working on a project, and with hard work, the client has reaped the rewards and established more financial security. Praise can be given, and recognition from others will boost the person's ego. At last, things are improving, and cash will be saved in the bank for further investments. Blah, blah, blah. Salary increase, promotion, job change. Train your successor to make the wheel run smoothly. Yeah, you might have to train your successor to make the wheel run smoothly. Apprentice card. Go ahead.
That's kind of what's going on in my life right now, actually, because I'm moving into different things in my business and I'm having other people take over the things I was previously doing. So you've nailed it here.
Yeah. That feels like the kind of thing that shouldn't be in tools, right? But I get it. It's not like I would say magically, all of these things are more about business stuff. Like this could be a reading on your romantic life, right? But I think this card is like, it's not about your romantic life, but this is about business shit. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yes. Because that's been my entire focus at work is training other people to do what I do.
Yeah. New time to forge ahead with a real career that might be in place for life. Much to learn, but you can achieve greatness with hard work and dedication. If you're striving for a higher qualification, this represents the level of commitment. And that level of commitment can be up to a 3-year time scale. So, you know, if there's a business thing, it could be like, yeah, it's not going to be immediate. This is an investment. This isn't a lottery ticket, right? That's kind of the idea there. And let's go into the reverse. A tricky situation can be coming ahead. An up-and-coming business could be your focus, but with lack of foresight or bad management, it could be run into the ground very quickly. By thinking they could do it better, the client will leave everything extremely muddled and on a downward slope with their stick-in-the-mud attitude. A new business will be hard to get off the ground, and money and success will be on pause with no dividends to look forward to. Keep your eye on the ball. Tread carefully or you will fail. Business loss. Arguments over money. One partner spends more than the other. If someone's studying and the other person fails, self-employed ventures can flop. Business not getting off the ground. So, you know, obviously every card is the opposite of itself. And this is saying, you know, if you're thinking this means good stuff, that's not just going to happen. You actually have to work for it, which makes sense. I mean, this card's not a good luck card. This is a hard work card, right? So it's not saying everything's great. It's just saying, yeah, man, do your job, work hard. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And which you just mentioned were some of the fears that I had about the current thing I'm working on. So,
of course,
yes, that's all very much on my mind. I'm hoping it doesn't go that way, but that's something I'm already very conscious of. So, yeah, again, nailed it.
And that's the thing. And so it's like, I don't want to be the psychic who tells someone to do stuff. I would rather be the psychic that tells someone how to think about stuff, right?
Sure.
And so like anytime I've done a tarot reading and it's felt so eerie that I'm like, I hope this person doesn't necessarily feel confident taking action after looking at fucking playing cards, right? That seems too scary. But I think since it's Rorschach test, it's probably just revealing a lot of your thoughts anyway, you know? So who knows? Let's flip the camera.
It is, but you know, I think you also know too, though, some just things I've been telling you over the last few days, you probably know that this matches up very well to, you know, reality for me.
Yeah, this might be a surprise to our listeners, but Kevin and I actually talk about stuff we don't discuss on the podcast as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, that's our show.
As hard
folks.
As that is to believe.
Oh, go ahead. You had more. It's fine.
No, I'm just saying, as hard as that is to believe, you know, I do something other than put on podcasts sometimes.
I may be an open book, but I'm also a shut book. And is that interesting?
That's deep. That's very deep.
I hope that's the episode title, because I can't imagine you've been taking two million titles down.
I have a few.
Awesome.
Not during the
No, I get it. I'm not. Yes. It's fine. It's not Kevin's job to write down titles. He loves it. I can't get him to stop, honestly.
Yeah, if you're ever watching the show and you see me typing, I'm not like chatting to friends or anything. I'm writing down something clever Spencer said as a as a potential title for the show.
Well, Kevin is polite, so he doesn't like to laugh into the mic. So a lot of times he'll write ha 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 when something's very funny. But that's our show, folks. And Kevin just silently laughed. Like, you didn't see him because the camera was on me, but he did because he's so polite. But that's our show. Thank you so much. As always, you guys are my link, and I am sorry I deprived you of linking to me through my drugness and just being a little bitch who didn't read that book. Like, I don't know. And I shouldn't use the word bitch, but everybody does. People brought that word back, and I was like, we weren't saying that. We had stopped saying that. And now I feel like I'm the asshole for not saying it. And now I'm overcompensating it and making it bad. Ugh. I hate myself. I hate myself. That's all. If you don't want me to hate myself, give me money on my Patreon. I've been thinking that we got to get, I'm so behind the eight ball on this podcast. We got to get ahead of the podcast. I was thinking that we maybe like want to slow down the podcast a little bit just so we can get ahead of it and like plan ahead and get like planning for like ideas, like even months in the future that we have instead of just right now on the show coming up with what to talk about. And so I've been thinking about ways to do that. I don't know how to talk to you guys about that because you guys don't communicate with me very consistently. So I don't know, but we were thinking about trying to do like, what if 1 month was like, we did an anime episode. We did a That Happens episode. We did like another episode. And then we did like a fourth episode that was like, just like talking to the audience, like we're taking calls, you know, and that way we could have this structure that we can like fit into. The thing is, like, I don't want to split the podcast too much, right? But I don't know. I'm trying to think about slowing down so we can stop being behind the eight ball and start getting ahead of the curve, because I think that's part of what makes the podcast bad too. So if you have any opinions on that, feel free to share them anywhere and I'll try to look at them, because I want to move forward. That's what the anime is about, you know, and I got to figure out how to do it in a way that people will enjoy it and hopefully give me money. So if you want to be in the credits, patreon.com/thesixler, when we get to our new anime, I was thinking about having the people that were subscribed to the Patreon be listed like over the credits or something of the music video of the anime that we cover, you know? And so that could be an interesting thing. If that's interesting to you, let me know, because I'm not promising that will be the case unless people say they'd give me money if that was the case. But anyway, that's our show. You got anything, Kevin?
Nope. I don't have this ready yet, but maybe in the next few episodes, I'm actually going to have it so that if you sign up to Spencer's Patreon during the show, your name will appear in that show. Like, if you're watching it live, your name will appear literally, like, you could sign up 5 minutes ago and your name will appear in the credits that are showing live right now. It's not update as the show is being made.
Right. But so, we should give a caveat that there is a complicated algorithm that will filter out any problematic content. So
yes. I will manually double check it before it goes live, you know. So
no, it's a complicated algorithm.
That is, yes. I am a complicated algorithm.
You really are one of the most. But yeah. Any last words?
Sign up for Spencer's Patreon. That's all that matters.
Because I just pulled the death card because the show is over. That's all. Kill it. Kill it. Kill it. Stop. Stop the episode.